Okay, Roger Elliott's going to be coming up here. And many of you know Roger. Roger in the past has been a... Come on up here, Roger. I'm not going to talk long. Oh, you're going to make an entrance. All right. Do I need to have the music and all that? You got to take care of... Roger's been a teacher in the past. He owns a successful business. He likes opera. And his wife is Lisa. They've been married. How long have you been married? Oh, man. Okay. I threw him off. He's thinking about the sermon. That's okay, man. So let's welcome one of our own at Bethel, Roger Elliott.
Go to lots of different events, and lots of times they're introduced with some music. And there are churches that introduce right before the message starts, they play some music to set you in the mood for the message. Maybe it has a theme, maybe it has something that's supposed to speak to you to get you started. Well, I chose three pieces here for you to judge which ones are good ones to introduce a message. First, we're going to name that tune. What was the first one? A lullaby. It was Johannes Brahms' Lullaby. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about music, if you can't tell there. Now, there's some of you that a lullaby may be the perfect introduction to this message. We'll find out. What was the second one? Come, now is the time to worship. I try not to make this test too hard, okay? But come, now is the time to worship. That song was inspired when the writer of the song was having a very difficult time. And he was in London. They had had to move to London. And he was in London. And as he was walking down the street, this message, this song came to him. These words came to him. Now, I can't imagine how that works exactly. But these words came to him. He was in a bad place. He had a business enterprise that kind of failed. They found out that their son had some serious health issues. He wasn't in a very good place. But yet, these words came to him. Come, now is the time to worship. Come as you are. You don't have some prerequisites that you need to bring to come and worship. Come now. What was the third one? The theme to Jaws. Now, in some cases, it may be that after the end of this message, that may be the best theme as well. You may be hoping that the Jaws, and maybe you're already hoping that, that the Jaws will come up and take me right away from here and have it over with. But if you've seen that movie, you know that that is prior to an attack by Jaws. And it can raise your blood pressure maybe a little bit, at least your anxiety a little bit. So, like I say, we'll give it time, and you can decide which really is the most suitable. I personally like music a lot. Music is a very important part of my life, and it has been. And like I say, for others of you, it may not be quite as important. And like I say, the lullaby may be the most suitable for you as things go along. I've gone through a lot of different things as far as my music and music appreciation and stuff like that is concerned. I've enjoyed from the range of Alice Cooper to the Oak Ridge Boys. A little different scale there. As mentioned, I enjoy opera. I've enjoyed Jesus Christ Superstar, the rock opera, to Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro. This is actually, I don't know if anybody's ever asked you the question, if you got marooned on an island, what piece of music would you take with you? This is mine, The Marriage of Figaro. Ranging from Joyce DiDonato, who is an opera singer, to Janis Joplin. Kind of a range there of what I've enjoyed. Music also has, in many ways, brings back memories for us, times of importance. When Lisa was pregnant with Bentley, we went to a doctor's appointment to see Dr. Grant, and he put that strap thing around him and whatever, and comes back in and he says, "You're having contractions. We're going to take you to the hospital." It's like, "No, this is just a regular doctor's appointment. We're not supposed to be going to the hospital." It's like, "Yeah, we're going to the hospital. We got to stop this." We weren't prepared for that, so we got Lisa all hooked up and all that kind of stuff, and we weren't prepared, obviously, for that. So I ran home. I picked up some stuff that I thought we might need, and I got the CD player, and I picked up this CD, Winds of Worship. And we played that, and we played it, and it helped us get through that time. Well, then, when it was the right time, when Bentley was supposed to come, again, I took that to the hospital. And I play it now every once in a while, and those are things that I remember. And those, you may have a lot of the same things, that there are songs that come to mind, and it reminds you of something, and it's an important part. And that is part of the power of music. Now, A couple months ago, Pastor Jerry shared an important possession of his that had to do with music. Well, an important possession of mine has to do with music. Joyce DiDonato. She is an opera singer. She was born and raised in Kansas City. I've had the opportunity of seeing her in concert with the Kansas City Symphony 3 or 4 different times. I saw her in 2 live productions at the Lyric Opera of Kansas City. She is one of the top mezzo-sopranos in the world, most sought after in certain roles. Let's see. Where'd it go? Well, I got her autograph. I got her autograph. This is a very important possession for me, and it has to do with music. I have been very fortunate, and many of you have as well, that you were raised with music, and music has been a part of your life. And that is power, and music has provided a lot of power in your life. And I was fortunate to have music in my home. My mom was very involved as far as music was concerned. She played the violin, she sang, she played the piano. She introduced us to music. I was introduced and involved in music as far as the church was concerned, and that was very important. We were also had a very good music program at the school, and that was a big influence. Now, we probably did not appreciate the music teacher that we had at the time as much as we should have, but he did an amazing job. Mr. LaRue did an amazing job leading the band and the chorus and all of that, and teaching us music and therefore to appreciate music. Now, many of you here at Bethel have had the privilege, as I did, of having the piano teacher, Elizabeth Groth. She taught many of you or many of your kids or whatever, and of course she played for the church for many years. And one of the things that was very nice was the fact that as far as our church was concerned, it was okay to get up there as a teenager, and you're not any kind of perfectionist or anything like that, and be able to play. And I had the privilege of being able to do that a number of times. And it was very enjoyable, but for a piano student to have the opportunity to use that in church and to share that is a very, very valuable thing. And I'm very grateful to the church and to Elizabeth for giving me that opportunity. Now, next slide. Music affects humans physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And we can go back to those 3 songs that we played there at the beginning, and we can apply those in different ways. The theme from Jaws might affect you physically, emotionally. You might have to take some deep breaths or whatever to try to calm yourself down a little bit if you remember watching that movie. Come now, it's time to worship. Hopefully that would be something that spiritually, that would very much affect us as humans. And the lullaby, obviously physically, emotionally, relaxation. Music can do that. Now, before we go on to some other things, we're going to look at some scripture. We're going to look at some examples in the Bible of when music was involved. First, in 2 Kings chapter 3, we have the situation where King Jehoshaphat, and along with a couple other kings. Now, the thing that you need to know about King Jehoshaphat was that of the kings, he was good. He did good in the sight of God. He was favorable in the sight of God and did good things. He and two other kings that weren't so good, they were going to go out for battle. And they came to a place where in this valley, and they had all kinds of soldiers, they had all kinds of animals, and they came to this valley and there was no water. No water. And they were preparing for battle. And so they said, well, God has brought us here for something. We need to go to him and find out what do we need to do. So they look for a prophet, and they find Elisha. And they go to Elisha and ask him, what do we need to do? And first off, Elisha kind of mocked them by saying, well, why don't you go to your prophets? Get a connection with God through your prophets. Well, they were pagan gods. They weren't going to do any good. But then he said, because of Jehoshaphat, this one king, I'll help you out. So Elisha says, bring me a harpist. Bring me a musician. And the musician started to play, and God spoke to Elisha and told him to tell them, tomorrow morning, basically, you're going to wake up and this valley is full of water. You're not going to hear any storms. You're not going to hear any wind. This thing is going to be full of water. Now, they are also preparing for battle, going into battle. And sure enough, next morning, it was filled with water. And to win the battle, the enemy came over the hill, and with the way the sun was shining, it looked red, blood red. And they turned and ran the other way. They won the battle without even having to fight. But the harpist helped make, the musician helped bring the connection from God to Elisha to give him the message. I've been struggling with some things. But anyway, next, in 1 Samuel, Saul has been anointed by Samuel as king, and he's anointed, but he's still needing to receive the Spirit, the real Spirit of God, in order to be king and to be the king that he should be. So he is told to go down, and he's going to meet some prophets. And these prophets, they're going to be playing the lyres, the tambourines, the flutes, the harp, and they're going to be prophesying. And this type of prophesying was praising God through the Holy Spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit. And at that time, then, the Holy Spirit came on Saul. He became a different person. And he then became the king, being a different person, being a better person. But all of this was brought about through the power of music. The next example, in 1 Samuel 16, Saul has now been replaced as king. So the power, the Holy Spirit, the power has left Saul, and he is being tormented by a spirit that the Lord has is tormenting him with. And he needs comfort. And they find, as they have before, they find David to play the harp. And when Saul was troubled with this spirit, David would play the harp, and the spirit would leave him, and he would receive comfort. And I certainly hope that one of the effects of music for you is giving you comfort. I think it was probably the day after I agreed that I was going to do this and next Sunday, I was kind of freaking out and stressing out. And we had family that was going to be coming in. Things were getting going with the business and all this stuff, and I was stressing out. So I found a CD of Joyce DiDonato, put it on, started playing it, and it just brought me comfort. Helped me forget. I knew those things were still going to happen, but they brought me comfort, and I could go on. And I hope that you have, in many ways and many times, received that comfort and experienced that comfort through music. It's very powerful. Next one, in 2 Corinthians, we have where the temple was filled with the glory of God. They were bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the temple. And Solomon had all the Levites, who are the musicians, he had them playing cymbals and harps and lyres. And here's the one that, in part of this story, they had 120 priests playing trumpets. They had voices singing. And they were singing, "He is good. His love endures forever." Right up there. And the temple was filled with a cloud, and the glory of God filled the temple. Now, just for a little thought, 120 trumpets. That's a lot of noise. And the brass, they tend to be kind of hard to hold back, and they make a lot of noise. But hopefully, this building wasn't exactly enclosed in. Hopefully, it was kind of the structure that had lots of air moving through and stuff like that, that the sound could carry. But the temple was filled with the glory of God through all of this music. In 2 Corinthians 20, they have the choir leading the army into a battle. Now, in this particular case, not quite so many details, but in this particular case, they had three different groups of people, three different armies, going against the one. And King Jehoshaphat was involved with this one as well. And they had the choir singing. Well, God, in order for them to win this battle, now I don't know if this was critics of music or what, but anyway, these two armies, they attacked this one and annihilated them. The Jewish army, King Jehoshaphat's army, they didn't have to do anything. They were out there singing and praising God. And that's another, they also threw in there, "His love endures forever." That was part of their phrase. And so these two armies, They annihilated this one. And then you know what happened? These two turned against each other. They annihilated each other. And they won the battle. And all they were doing was singing. The power of music. Last, we have in Acts, Paul and Silas were in prison. And they were placed in some real confinement, a real harsh prison. The jailer was instructed to take care of them. And they were praying and singing. Paul and Silas were praying and singing. And I think an important part in this story is that the other prisoners were listening to them. And I have there that this was a prison escape, but that really wasn't what God's plan was, even though in the end that is what happened with Paul and Silas. But the other prisoners were listening to them. And then an earthquake came through. Their shackles and everything, their chains were loosened, and the doors and everything flew open, and they could escape, except they didn't. The jailer wakes up and is ready to kill himself because he's afraid that all the prisoners have escaped. And Paul says, don't harm yourself. We're all here. That through the witness of that prayer and singing, they stayed. But what was the real goal of this? The real goal of this, as it happened in the rest of the story, the jailer wanted to know, what is this power? And he and his family were saved. He and his family were saved. Now, we'll have to go through some of this a little quickly here. Yes. God created music. I absolutely believe that. In Colossians 1:16, for by him all things are created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And in Genesis 1, even though it never says God created music, God created music. And in that creation, he created things that made sound. He created human beings with the ability to think and create and invent and be able to make music. And one of the most interesting things, I think, about that creation of music and the creation of that God did as far as man was concerned. I don't know how many of you know anything about the human vocal cords. Now, I've been in concert halls and I've been in opera houses where the performers are not mic'd. They're standing on stage with an orchestra behind them or in front of them with a chorus, and you can hear these people sing. They may be in a 3,000-seat auditorium, no mics, and you can hear them sing. What do you know about the human vocal cords? For women, the length of the vocal cord ranges from a half an inch to 3/4 of an inch. And they can make that much music. They can make that much sound. And God provided man with the mind and the ability and the interest to create these things as far as music is concerned. For example, if you take the piano, the string that makes the lowest sound is the longest and the biggest around, and it makes the lowest sound. And then you go to the other end, and the string that makes the highest sound is short, very, very small around, and it makes the highest sound. And so for females in particular, their vocal cords are only a half an inch to three quarters. For the man, it's three quarters to an inch. And they can create that much sound, that much vibration in their vocal cords to produce that much sound. I mean, to me, that's just incredible. That's amazing. And we'll go through one more slide here, just real quick, that God sings. And in this particular, in Zephaniah, there at the very end, he will rejoice over you with singing. God sings as well. That's how important it is. Now, music has power. Music has a lot of power. How many of you still know your ABCs and the books of the Bible because it was in a song? How many of you know your multiplication tables because it was in a song? Nobody. Nobody found a way to write that song. So it has a lot of power. Now they have music therapy. They have the situation, they found the situation where in patients with dementia and Alzheimer's, they're not there. But they play a song and they're back. Maybe not very long, but they're back. And the reason, part of the reason for that is that our brains store these musical memories in a different place than the rest of our brain. It has power. Stroke victims who lose a lot of their vocal, their language abilities, they have found that vocal, listening to vocal music helps them to recover their ability to speak. Where just listening to instrumental music and other kinds of music doesn't help. It has a lot of power. Yes, music is a gift from God for all humanity. We'll go to the next one, where we know that various individuals are gifted by God with music ability. Now, we also know that some of us have been left out. You have, and this is something we'll talk about next Sunday, and that is you have people with their musical talent as far as what they can do with absolute pitch, and then you have those that are tone deaf. And that's the range. Ann and Dean are back there going, okay, you know. So you can make a joyful noise, but it doesn't necessarily have to be pleasant. God can appreciate that. God doesn't have to have it in tune. You can praise him and it not necessarily be pleasant to the person who's sitting next to you. Now I want to show you this example. Thank you. Now, you don't have to know too much about playing the piano to know that this guy can play fairly well. At the age of 21, he was the co-winner of the gold medal of the every four-year Van Cliburn International Music Competition. You have to be able to play the notes if you're going to win that. He's very gifted. Very gifted. Now, one of the points I want to make in doing this is to say that one of the ways that you can praise God and worship God through music is by appreciating it. Maybe you can't do it. I can't do all this by any means, but I can appreciate it. And by appreciating it, I can praise God. I can give God praise and worship Him by appreciating music. If you go to the next slide, this guy's pretty good. What also makes him special? He's blind. He's been blind his entire life. He has never seen a piano. He's never seen a musical note. And if you are a classical music performer, you got to hit all the notes. There's lots of musicians who are blind. But I don't know that there's any other classical musicians who are blind. And he can do some things by ear, but he has to read, he has to get the notes. And there's not a lot of music, classical music, that is interpreted in Braille. So it's a painstaking job to learn all this. Now, prior to this, he had already played for 35 minutes playing Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 2. This was his encore. That's not the only two songs he knows. Now, got a keyboard up there. I want to show you how amazing this is. The white keys, if you look at those white keys, they're an inch wide. My fingers, and I suspect his, they're about 3/4 of an inch wide. The margin for error is about 1/4 of an inch. He can't see. He has to be able to hit that exactly. Because if you're off 1/4 of an inch, 1/2 an inch, you're now playing two notes. You're not playing just one. And I've seen him play Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1, which 14 times he goes from here, 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 here. Doesn't miss. I've watched about 6 or 7 other pianists play that same thing, and every time they got their eyes on their hands. That's amazing. Now, we'll show another one. Now you can move. Rather than listen to that whole thing. That kid was about 8 years old. He's a Russian, about 8 years old. Just unbelievable. And I can praise God and worship God for the fact that somebody can do things like that. And so we got to move on, so I won't get to all of it. So if you jump to the very last one. One of the things I want you, there we go. Using the gift of music as a way to praise and worship God, you can do that by singing, playing, clapping, tapping your foot, simply listening. You can sing silently, and you can appreciate and praise God by appreciating this wonder of music making. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and worship you for what you have created, what gift you have given us. And we pray that we can thank you for that precious gift over and over again, and we can use it as a way to overwhelmingly praise and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.